Scripture doesn't command wives to obey their husbands, but voluntarily to submit to them. Again, how many husbands have wrongly demanded obedience rather than graciously exhorting and admonishing submission? Oh, honey, I love you so much. You really do need to do what I think the Lord wants us to do here.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, when you say the word submission or submit to the average person, but believer or unbeliever, the reaction is about the same.
You know, Dave, unfortunately at times the reaction is the same, and it's not a positive reaction. You see, our sinful nature does not want to be told to submit to anyone or anybody. We want to be the ruler of our lives and our destiny and the final authority of our choices and decisions. So then, when the Apostle Paul tells younger women that they are to be submissive to their husbands, is this a demeaning or derogatory request? Let's find out. Our passage is Titus chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verse 5.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
And oh, don't forget that goodness, this word agathos, goodness, does not emanate from us. You cannot generate kindness. You can't do it. It comes from God. As Jesus said, only God is good. But folks, those who are being controlled and led by the Holy Spirit, yielding their lives to Christ, allowing His Word to dwell richly, working in that, one of the fruits of His Word through His Spirit dwelling richly in us is goodness. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. That's that word, agathos, goodness. Goodness. So when you are being obedient, functioning in your right domain, walking with Christ, His Word dwelling richly, and evidence that you're walking with Him will be that you're good and you're kind, right? There's so many temptations within the confines of the responsibilities God has given each one of us. As men within our jobs, there is the temptations to not be kind, right? There are the temptations to not be submissive to our bosses. In the context of the women's role, there's the temptations not to be kind within the situations that you are faced every single day. But God says you are to be kind. And then lastly, He says here that you are to be being subject to their own husbands, functioning within God's order. That's what I believe He's saying here. Again, verse 3, Titus 2. Older women likewise ought to be reverent in all their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind. And then here's the first participle. All the rest were adjectives. First participle, being subject to their own husbands. And I think He uses a participle here in a present tense because it is an ongoing action you are to be exhibiting. Being subject to their own husbands. Now, folks, it's clear that sin affects everyone. Therefore, it affects every relationship. There are none righteous, not even one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? Certainly, sin separates man from God. And sin also affects our relationships and our family. And more than any other relationship, I believe it affects our marriage relationship. Now, God, in His redemptive discipline and grace, forewarns Adam and Eve of the consequences of sin within the marriage relationship. Genesis 3:16. To the woman, He said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you shall bring forth children. That's raising them ultimately. Childbirth pain, but also it's going to be the curse, the sin. It's going to be difficult to raise kids because of sin. Okay? Yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. The desire speaks of hungering intent. The hungering intent shall be for or towards your husband. Simply put, for women, sin causes you to desire to control your husband. You have a hungering intent in your sinful state to control your husband. That's what God said would happen here because of their sin in the garden, right? And then for men, we see sin causes them to rule over or dominate their wives, to lord over their wives. That's the default state for those who don't know Christ, and as the default state for us when we start sinning in our relationship, right? That's it. That's the state. And it is often in the context of sin we see biblical submission distorted in the marriage relationship. Husbands demand obedience rather than exhorting and admonishing submission. Wives rule over rather than submitting, right? That's what we see. We see it twisted, right? Now, as we look at biblical submission, as we finish up here, if you were to raise the subject up in worldly situations, some women might just slug you. I mean, this is a very, very hot button for people in the world. Okay? But ultimately, we see here, apart from Christ, the world is totally against this, right? Because it's foreign to them. It doesn't make sense. It does not go with their sinful desires, we see in Genesis 3. But unfortunately, this has become a hot button in the church also, where the concept of submission has brought about anger and division, and the evangelical church is completely divided over what this means when it's actually a very simple concept. So in contrast to all the confusion and error and deception and misinformation concerning submission, what does Scripture say in our passage and in other passages? It says, literally, the young women are to be continually, this is present tense, being subject to their own husbands. And this participle translated being subject is hupotasso. Hupo means under, tasso means to appoint and arrange, to order. It literally means order under. The word speaks of lining up oneself. It was used in a military sense of lining up soldiers under the commanding officer, submitting to a superior rank in the idea of military. The word also carries up the idea of giving up one's rights, lining oneself under authority. Now, this word does not address personhood, but position. One commentator writes rightly, hupotasso indicates here not worse in quality, but lower in position. Not inequality for women are equal to men before God. It represents the divine pattern of subordination and suggests an arrangement and order. One must not think of a wife being subject as synonymous as slavery or subjugation. The wife is not to dominate or to lead, but to follow her husband's leadership as long as he does not compromise her loyalty to Christ. Her first loyalty is to the Lord Jesus and to the authority of His Word. Biblical submission is an ordering under, lining oneself up. It is a subjection to God-given authority and order for God-ordained relationships. Now, submission is not a concept introduced by chauvinistic men to keep their women down. It is clearly a Spirit-inspired command. It is subjection to God-given authority and order for God-ordained relationships. Now, God has ordered many relationships that we all are in as believers, right? It is clear we are all to hupotasso to the government, Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2. We are all servants, and we see this idea of almost employment, are to submit to their masters, Titus 3 we'll see, and then Titus 2, and then also 1 Peter chapter 2. And Scripture is clear that young men are to be hupotasso to their elders, 1 Peter 5:5. And Scripture is clear that the church is to be submission hupotasso to Christ, Ephesians chapter 5. And all of us are to hupotasso before God and resist the devil. Submit therefore to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you, James chapter 4. And this passage reveals that wives are to continually be being subject to their own husbands. Now, this is not an isolated command in Scripture. There are a few other passages that give us the exact same command in a different light. Let's take a look back at Ephesians chapter 5. Let's turn there just briefly. Ephesians 5:22. And as you're turning there, remember, every command is based on the Word of God and the Spirit of God working in your life so that you can be like Christ. Ephesians 5:18, and do not be drunk with wine, but be conformed. Ultimately, do not be drunk with wine, but ultimately, as he says here back in Ephesians chapter 5:18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And then we see Spirit-filled relationships, and that's chapter 5, Verse 22, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. And then if you move a little bit forward to Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Colossians 3:18, again, ordered relationships based on the word of Christ dwelling richly in us. You can't do it unless God's Word and Spirit is dwelling richly. So, Colossians 3:18, wives, be subject, hupotasso, to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And then move up a little farther to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're all familiar, possibly, with this passage. 1 Peter chapter 3. It's really important that we really understand what Peter's saying here. 1 Peter 3, verse 1. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands. In the same way, he's just talking about Christ who was submissive. In the same way as Christ. It is not demeaning, wives, to be submissive, or as we will see, you are demeaning what Christ did. It is not demeaning at all. In the same way, Christ kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously when he was in his humanity. Be submissive to your husbands. We need to recognize submission is ultimately a sovereignty issue. Submitting to your husband is to submit to God's sovereignty. If you don't want to submit, you're telling God that you don't want to submit to him. That's just the bottom line. You're just rebelling against God. That's really the issue. Our flesh cries out for his or her rights, seeking continually to be sovereign in our relationships. Wives, you are to be ordered under your husbands, being subject to their own husbands. And notice every passage we looked at, it said one's own husband or their own husband. You're not to be subject to someone else's husband. One's own husband. One's own husband. These commands are for wives to submit to their own husbands. Voluntarily, as we will see, place yourself under your own husband's authority. And all these passages are also in a passive or middle voice, basically speaking of the fact that the subject is really not performing the action. It is a passive participant. The subject, you are just to passively yield yourself. If you are actively trying to submit, something's wrong. You have to yield yourself to Christ and give over your rights passively, right? We'll talk about that in a little bit, what that means in the context of sinful relationships. Well, does submission make you anything less? Does it mean that you are a lower citizen in the kingdom of heaven to be submitting to your husband? Does that mean your husband is so much greater than you? Is that what it means? Wives, you are spiritually equal to your husband. Christ died for you, and he died for your husband in the same level. God has just ordained different roles. Husbands, 1 Peter 3:7 makes it clear that your wives are fellow heirs of the grace of life. If you treat them badly, if you do not live with them in an understanding way, your prayers are hindered. That is your relationship with Christ. That is the most important thing in your life is hindered if you don't do that. They are fellow heirs of the grace of life. Does submission make you anything less? If you say yes, you are in deep, deep trouble. Because Christ submitted to the headship of the Father unto death, and he is not less than the Father. 1 Corinthians 11:3, I'll read this for you. But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and that the man is the head of every woman, and God is the head of Christ. Christ is no less. And if you think you are less, or someone says you are less because of submission, then you are, in a backwards way, demeaning the submission of Christ. Women are thus commanded in the context of spiritual equality to voluntarily submit to their own husbands. They are to yield to their own husband's God-given authority. And Wayne Barber writes here, so what is the meaning of hupotasso? Does it mean that your wife is a slave to obey your every command? Does it mean that you treat her like a child? And he emphatically says no, and I totally agree. If there is a man who thinks for one second they have any superiority in God's eyes over their wife, they are gravely mistaken from God's word. However, by his design to have a functional family that glorifies God, concessions have to be made. So God says, wives, you make it and choose to put yourself underneath the headship of your husband in order that the design of what God says ought to be. The meaning of it has nothing to do with inferior to superior. It takes nothing of the dignity of the woman for her to submit, but rather enhances it. And it takes great integrity for a person to do what God says they should do. And I just want to share something too. Scripture never tells wives to obey their husbands. It tells children to obey their parents. It doesn't tell wives to obey their husbands. It says to submit to them. Those are two different words. Husbands tend to say, you need to obey what I say. Wives are commanded to voluntarily yield themselves to the husband's right position of authority in the relationship. Certainly that will include doing what the husband might say, but the idea is not you must obey. The idea is submission. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Totally different. We see submission so twisted in some spheres. No wonder women don't want to submit when they see it in that unbiblical light. When we see it in the light of what God has ordained, it is a beautiful thing and it brings Him glory. And it is the best thing for you to be where God wants you to be. Scripture commands wives to submit to their husbands. Remember, men, you are not the Lord over your wives, and we all need to confess it when we do that, right? That's sin, right? Men, right? That's sin. We need to confess that. They obey Christ. Christ is their Lord. And if they obey Him, they will voluntarily, as an equal, submit to you. That's what it is. Scripture doesn't command wives to obey their husbands, but voluntarily to submit to them. Again, how many husbands have wrongly demanded obedience rather than graciously exhorting and admonishing submission? Oh, honey, I love you so much. You really do need to do what I think the Lord wants us to do here. It's for your good and for our good in Christ. I exhort you, honey, to please. There's no demanding. You must do this. It's voluntarily ordering under. Now, if you don't do it, God is saying that you're disobeying His command, but it's a voluntarily ordering under. Okay, so why should women submit to their own husbands? And the answer is obvious, because God says so, first of all. But we get a little insight in this back in Colossians chapter 3:18. Let's just briefly turn there and we'll finish up with this. Colossians 3:18. We have the phrase, after we're to let the word dwell richly, now we have ordered relationships. Wives, be subject to your own husband. And then we have this phrase, as is fitting in the Lord. We've seen that word before, fitting, what is proper and right. And it's also really interestingly in an imperfect tense, which speaks of an ongoing action in the past. What does he mean by this? When you became a new creation in Christ, the basis of all your relationships changed. You are in the Lord, and you are now to be ordered as He sees fit for your benefit and blessing. God is a God of order. It is the right thing to do. It is fitting in the Lord. It is fitting in the Lord. It's proper and right and fitting. And if you don't do it, the word of God will be blasphemed. And God will be blasphemed. A lack of submission to God and His ordained order fits a fallen, sin-corrupt world, but not you, if you name the name of Christ. You are in the Lord. It is fitting for you to fall into and to be placed into God's ordained place. Okay, just briefly now, why are some other reasons ladies should be submitting to husbands? Biblical submission in the marriage relationship is a picture of the relationship of Christ to His beloved, Ephesians 5. You can read that later. It's a picture of Christ's love for the church. 1 Peter chapter 3, God uses the beauty of godly submission as a witness to an unbelieving spouse, quite possibly maybe to bring about His redemption. 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, one of the reasons, I think the major reasons women don't submit, I believe, is because of fear. And fear is an evidence of unbelief. Women fear, what if I was to submit to Him? What if I was to yield in these areas? What will happen to us? Our lives will be destroyed. Exaggerating here, but what would happen? If we look in 1 Peter chapter 3, let's turn there. He says in 1 Peter 3, in the same way, likewise, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. And let not your adornment be merely external, the braiding of hair, wearing gold jewelry, or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, holy women also hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right, and then here it is, without being frightened by any fear. I think women are tempted to fear, what if I submit, then he'll walk all over me. What if I submit, then we'll go down the wrong path. What if I submit, what will happen? Don't fear. Don't fear man. Fear disobeying God. Do what God says, and then God takes care of you. God takes care of you. Now, I need to give one caveat here. Biblical submission does not mean you disobey God. If your husband calls you to do something that would cause you to disobey God, that you do not submit to that. You obey God rather than man. Clearly, do not disobey God to submit to your husband. Keep entrusting the Lord. Don't fear. God will take care of you. If you are the fearing type, I suggest you fear the consequence of not obeying God. Wives, are you continually, voluntarily placing yourself under your husband's leadership and authority? If not, your marriage and your house has problems. Just confess it, forsake it, start fresh, just trust Christ, yield to Him, submit to His sovereign order. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro the entire earth, that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. God strongly supports you when you obey Him and trust Him. Lastly, we see ultimately at the end of verse 5 back in Titus 3, women are to be these seven things. Why? That the word of God may not be blasphemed. I've spoken about this already, but women, you have the choice to be an adornment of what God says, to be a beautiful example of the truth of God, or you will be something that visibly causes people to blaspheme God. It's serious. 1 Timothy 5:14, therefore I want young women to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach. Don't give Satan an occasion, for some have already turned aside to follow Satan. Maybe some of you are following Satan in practice by not submitting. Maybe some of you are following Satan in practice by not being keepers of your house. I exhort you to confess your sin and be right before the Lord. He'll forgive you. Step out in obedience and be right. God is so good. His place for you is the best place. It's always the best place to be obeying God, no matter what you think might happen. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll make your path straight. Trust the Lord. Be who God has called you to be, because the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. That same grace in Christ is instructing us to live righteously and upright. As God, through His Word, instructs you, respond to that so that He'll be glorified.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in the brief moments that we have to wrap up today's broadcast, what's our takeaway?
You know, Dave, it's simply this. Submission is not a dirty word. It should be a daily part of every believer's lives. You see, we have a wonderful picture. Just as Christ submitted to the Father and the Father brought about redemption through that, God is working in our lives when we submit ourselves to the living God. He's doing good in our lives. So we may be tempted to think wrong, that we may be tempted to have the wrong attitude and understanding, but we need to look at the reality of what God says and that beautiful picture of what he did with Christ. So with this in mind, Dave, I would say, don't allow the world's view to infiltrate your thinking. Allow God's word to renew and transform your heart so that you will trust, obey, and submit to God, that he would be glorified in everything.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.